Make no bones about it, ladies and gentlemen. I am on a mission. A mission to remind everybody exactly who I am. The best bloody professional wrestler on the face of planet Earth.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Collision Catch-Up. My name is Aaron Grant.
I'm not even going to cut that either.
No, you know what? I said it out of pure habit, and like, I'm not kidding. In my brain, I'm still half asleep right now. I was cycling through that to prepare myself to say good morning. I don't know why. Anyways, I'm Aaron Grant.
Yeah, I am independent wrestler, one half of your WWE Tag Team Champions. No, not the standard Matthew Grant. I'm now the present Matthew Grant. Wow, I got to get used to that.
I was going to say, we're not cutting that either.
No,
we're not doing so.
Raw audio today, baby.
It is 1 p.m. and we are just recording.
You know what? It's one of the most important wrestling weekends of the year. There's no secret. It's WrestleMania weekend. So, obviously, we watched WrestleMania last night. We hung out at our family's place. So, late night for us. And we didn't end up watching Collision until this morning. So,
yeah. Yeah, so that pretty much sums up...
Lots to talk about, though.
A lot to talk about, but that pretty much sums up our starting point.
And honestly, a lot to talk about doesn't necessarily... I guess it kind of relates to the episode, but in the sense of there's one big thing that really stood out from this episode for me that we're definitely going to get into.
Yeah, we're going to have to take a deep dive for sure.
But I want to obviously, like we usually do here, get into our top three, and then we'll dive into that topic a little later on. So, yeah. Without further ado, take it away with your number three for this week.
So, just to get ahead of myself, I don't think any of my top threes directly relate to any matches.
So, very, very underwhelming card.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's just because it was just like a different time. It was a pre-tape. It's WrestleMania weekend. But most of the notable things from this episode were either post-match
or promos. I'll tell
you right
now, two of the three of the things that I have this week are literally promos and segments. Because, yeah. Honestly, very underwhelming card. The fact that this card went on against... not necessarily against, but after WrestleMania, after people have watched 4 hours of wrestling already and you're expecting them to commit another 2 hours to watching wrestling. Like, being truthful here, when I look at this card, if it wasn't for the fact that we had to record this podcast, I'll be honest with you, I probably wouldn't have watched this week's Collision whatsoever.
Yeah, this would have been more of a skip. Like I said, most of the important details that I feel like diving into were more post-match moments. So I'll note which matches they followed, but truthfully, just know that most of my selections are because of things outside of the match. But my number three I decided to go with was a bit of an enhancement match, actually, between the recently returned Pac up against Encore Moore, which I know you're not a big fan of that
name.
I
didn't hear it when we first watched the episode, so I scrolled back. I like to scroll back and, you know, make sure my finishes are good and get everything proper, so make sure we're on point. And I heard his name, and I was just like, that is the most creative wrestler generic shit I've ever heard in my life. Like, this man just hit square on his name and hit random for his name, and that's what they came up with, Encore Moore.
Yeah, so, again, not so much... to do with the actual match, although I did take note during the match that I appreciated the tease of the Black Arrow as he's up in the corner getting the crowd hyped and then just like kind of says nah and then just jumps down and instead takes him out with the Brutalizer submission. So
classic Pac.
I appreciate that little teasing and also being like, nah, you're not worth my time kind of moment. But more specifically, the reason I chose this is because of the now anticipated match that Pac throughout there, as he will be challenging Okada, which I think is just going to be ridiculous.
Oh, it's going to be an amazing match. So the recently newly crowned AEW Continental Champion, Okada, as well.
True. I genuinely forgot about that, and we were literally there in person for that, weren't we?
Yes.
My bad.
Remember, it's 1 p.m., ladies and gentlemen.
This is weirdly enough, this is very reminiscent to me of last year when we first started recording and we made it a point to record on Saturday night, no matter how late we watched Collision.
And just being like half asleep, well, trying to like drag ourselves through it.
No joke. We did a couple of recordings at 2 and 3 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very similar to this 1 p.m. vibe. So I think we, we're not doing so hot. But yeah, that's my number three. I feel like I don't need to get into it anymore, except for I'm very excited for that upcoming match.
It's kind of funny that that was your number three, because my number three was what preluded the Pac match, was the Okada promo, narrated by Nigel McGuinness and written by Matthew and Nicholas Jackson. I just...
Fun little details that they threw in there.
So, to me, like, this was the perfect presentation. Obviously, like, you want to present the Bucks as these over-the-top pieces of shit executives, and what better way to do that than have them write a whole dialogue for their newly...
acquired. I don't know what we're like. He's
acquired talent as well as, I guess, new member of the elite.
That's what I was going for.
I was trying
more
to figure out
the...
a word to say that, but it did not. Again, things aren't just happening.
No, acquired wasn't a good word either.
I don't know. Either way, and then the additive of the heel commentator Nigel McGuinness being the one to narrate it as well, who's been just like so over the top and for the Bucks and the elite and everything they're doing right now. So
just fantastic. I love Nigel. He is the standout for me almost every Collision episode.
And it's just the presentation. I really enjoy how Okada is being, again, presented since being in AEW so far. He's being treated like a star, and I mean, it's clear that he is one. So I'm excited to see what happens going forward. Clearly, like you said, there's a match set up with Pac for the Continental Championship on the horizon, as well as, obviously, there's a tremendous amount of talent that Okada hasn't even had a chance to cross paths with. So, yeah, big stuff on the horizon for the current Continental Champion. But, yeah, that was my number three. Take it away to your number two.
My number two, once again... very focused on the post-match, and I only really clarify this because we have not really hidden our disinterest in the whole Jericho-Hook team feud, whatever you want to call that. It's very confusing. We really haven't hidden that we are really not a fan of that situation, but...
Here's the deal. Before we get into
take it away.
It's nothing against the two performers whatsoever. Honestly, it's just anything that Jericho and Hook have been involved in terms of stories and, like, what I remember from AEW in the last little while has not been anything notable. It's not been anything to sink my teeth into. It's not been anything for me to invest in. And
that's all very fancy ways to say just not interesting.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it again. I'm not trying to tear anybody down. That's not what we're here for. But it's just admittedly... not catching my attention whatsoever.
It's just at this point, like, very over it, and I think they kind of need to get away from each other.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing, is that right now they're really fixed on keeping them in this ongoing story, which is also confusing because sometimes they face each other, sometimes they team. It's just a little bit of a push-pull, and I get it.
It seems like they're trying to tease a turn that's supposed to happen that hasn't happened yet, and, like, it feels like it's been dragged out for too long. But even when it comes to Hook, like, I don't know how long ago that match was with Joe where he challenged for the world title, but, like, since then, we've basically been saying, like, Hook needs a refresh. And
Hook needs something, because whatever he is doing right now has really lost its wonder for me.
He's lost his aura. He still does have a bit of a presence about him, but it's not the same like it used to be.
No.
And I don't know if that was aligning him with Jericho. I don't know if it was the whole Jack Perry shit when it went down, and then he kind of disappeared from television for a bit. Like,
see, I don't even think that you could connect those two necessarily. I think it was just genuinely they came out with this presence of him, and that his presence spoke more than his actual skill, and there has just never been anything to push him up. To push him up to the next level that catches our attention. And again, I don't know if we're,
and I think they're trying to use Jericho to get to that point. They really are, but, like,
I don't think he's the right person to rely on for that push anymore.
It's just not, for me, it's just not working.
And I think a lot of people are kind of over Jericho at this point, too. Like, let's be real. He's getting older. He's got some heat consistently following him for just who he is as a person, which, you know, not a big deal. Well, no, a big deal, but you know, some people don't focus on that. But even his in-ring stuff doesn't speak for itself either anymore. He's
I don't even think you can necessarily say that, because Jericho can still go.
He can. It's
the biggest thing for me, and it's the thing when it comes to TV wrestling, is he's been a character on TV for the consistent part of AEW's entirety. He's never really gone away for a long period of time. And
true.
It's one of those things where, yeah, obviously he's one of the main guys. When you think of AEW, Chris Jericho is one of the first names you think of.
Well, I think back to when they were having those press conferences when AEW was first like developing, and he was the first person to come out that really just absolutely stunned people. Yep. To be like, oh my God, this is a part of this thing.
Yep. Yep. So I think whether it's, again, going back to the refresh on Hook, or giving Jericho a bit of time off to freshen him up again and make people kind of, you know,
miss him a little.
Yeah, it's one of those things where something needs to happen to freshen both of these guys up, because what they're doing right now is just not working. But to get into your number two, the
post-match.
Yeah, post-match. So all that stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, we
Jericho and Hook up.
On against Shane Taylor Promotions.
Yes.
That's one thing that was not said.
Shane Taylor, yes.
And then post-match, you know, Hook and Jericho up. And then out comes a name that I had forgotten about for quite a while as you were bringing it up
to me. Yeah, Anthony Ogogo. We haven't seen him around for quite some time, honestly. Notably, when it comes to AEW, known for his whole feud with Cody that did not go great at all. And kind of been back and forth on AEW programming since. Like, he had a little bit of a stint. I can't remember what the... Was it QT Stable? The Factory. Yeah.
Was he in the Factory?
Yeah, he was with the Factory for a little bit of time, and then he kind of faded away. And then I think he did, like, some commentary stuff, if I'm not mistaken, for a little bit of time, and then he went away again. He's had some health issues. It's been noted. I'm not entirely sure off the top of my head what those health issues were. However, to see him back, like, he's got a presence about him. We talk about auras and presence. Honestly, like, he's got it. And Taylor and Moriarty are doing some good stuff right now, I think.
I was going to say, we've been very vocal about being a fan of their work right now.
Yep. Shane Taylor is one of the most underrated big guys in the game today. Lee Moriarty is one of the most underrated young guys in the game today. And you want to throw Anthony Ogogo in there. I think he fits in perfectly with that crew. I'm intrigued to see what the what the faction does. I guess Shane Taylor Promotions, fair enough, does going forward, as these three guys have potential to do something with this faction. And right now, the way it's going, Moriarty and Shane Taylor are taking advantage of all the TV time they're getting and making it known that they want to be in that upper echelon of AEW.
But yeah, this moment of them really beating down Jericho, and having this moment afterwards of them holding up the Shane Taylor Promotions banner over Jericho's body was just a great visual.
Yeah, the laying it over his body, basically, like, kind of like a body bag.
Yeah, just a lot of intensity that I'm very excited to see from Shane Taylor Promotions.
Whether this leads to more stuff with Jericho and Hook teaming against these guys, I kind of hope it doesn't. Although we did get a segment later on where Shibata is brought into the mix to...
it turns into a trio situation.
Yeah, and I believe there is a six-man tag signed for Dynamite. So hopefully this is kind of the last of things for now. But, like, yeah, I think that's the biggest takeaway from this segment for me. Like, shout out Anthony Ogogo. Happy he's back. But, man, this Jericho and Hook stuff is dragging out way too much.
It is. But, like I said, I made my top two for the Anthony Ogogo return, and I'm genuinely just excited to see what happens with Shane Taylor Promotions.
My number two for this episode of Collision was our opening match of the night, the semifinal matchup in the Tag Team Championship Tournament, as we had FTR, Cash Wheeler, and Dax Harwood. Dax Harwood.
You focused so hard on insulting me right there.
I really did. FTR takes on Darius and Dante Martin, Top Flight. Like, really fun match.
I was going to say, this for me, like I said, I didn't really focus any of my top three on matches given the just nature of the whole episode. But if I was to look upon the whole show, this was probably match of the night for me.
Yeah, it's one of those things where anytime Dax and Cash come out, you know you're going to get a solid tag team bout. And then you mix it up with Top Flight, and honestly, those guys can go too. It's really good to see them both healthy. I know they've been plagued with injury issues throughout their run in AEW so far, even just in general. And again, fantastic to see them both healthy because they're, goddamn, they're so talented, insane. So fluent, so quick, so agile, and like... I think they could genuinely bring a lot to tag team wrestling in AEW going forward. They showed it by hanging with FTR. They, again, had a pretty solid match. It wasn't a crazy long match at the end of the day. However, again, a match that I would recommend checking out if you've got a few minutes. Yeah. And FTR up as well as they move on to the championship finals against the Young Bucks for Dynasty. So... I am very intrigued to see what they do with that match, who goes up and how they go about it. There's obviously something else that we are going to talk about in a little bit as it relates to that, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that's, again, if I was going to put a match in my top three, that was going to be my choice, so absolutely good choice. My number one, I will just jump straight into it, was, again, not so much focused on the match that took place, this being the match between the House of Black up against Brian Keith, Matt Sydal, and Christopher Daniels, but more what followed post-match as we get one of those classic AEW schmozzes of just like, and then this person comes out, and then this person comes out, as they build into...
Huge-ass brawl.
Huge brawl as...
First off, the House of Black up.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, House of Black up against what I had to turn to you at one point and say, man, this is a really random team. Looking
the most, like, thrown together trio.
Yeah, which, like, decent. It was, again, decent match. Nothing against the match. It worked, but it was just a really random trio thrown together as House of Black up. And out of nowhere, then Adam Copeland's music hit. Which, one thing that caught my attention, actually, which just for a little bit of... I guess, I don't know if I want to say character development, but his music is Buddy Matthews goes to jump him and is held back by Malakai Black, gives him that like, no, I got this moment, and kind of sends him back.
So when I first saw Malakai stop Buddy, I was like, oh, are they like anticipating him coming from like behind? So like, that's why he's stopping him. But then like you mentioned, yeah, Malakai's like, no, I got this.
Which I say character development because it was just interesting to see that moment of House of Black, who's normally so composed, have one of their members just like, oh, no, I'm not holding back, I'm about to fight. And then their leader kind of having to like put a hand on his shoulder and be like, no, settle down. Trying to take on that fight himself, only for then Buddy Matthews and Brody to be jumped from behind by Adam Copeland.
Although it didn't last long as it House of Black, obviously, numbers game 3-1. You do the math, it kind of writes itself. They get the best of Copeland for a second. Reach for the sky as here comes Mark Briscoe alongside FTR, which yep.
I was going to say that kind of had gone to the wayside and has now returned, I guess.
Well, it wasn't even just that. So they've clearly built up this trios match for Dynasty with Copeland, Briscoe, and Eddie Kingston taking on the House of Black. I'm assuming they're trying to sell Kingston losing the Ring of Honor championship to Mark Briscoe and him, you know, being hurt.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Then Briscoe coming out, it was weird to me that FTR was associated with the segment. However, it did make sense in the long run because
as the Young Bucks then jump out. Yes. And so I think it was building up to multiple kind of matches that
being
are anticipated.
Built at once,
100%. So, which I again, it's classic AEW.
Just
brawl.
At first, I was kind of like, why are like there is association with Briscoe and FTR, but they also made a point to separate themselves on TV as well as they're both intertwined in two different things. But then again, like I said, the Bucks end up coming up from their EVP Vader or the Cody Vader, whatever,
which, like,
you want to call
gotta
it.
Say it, I said it to you, just looking like the twins from The Shining. They're just standing intensely staring straight forward as this elevator rises, and it is jarring. But they come out,
FTR immediately charges them.
FTR goes after them like they're trying to take their moment of drama, and very quickly cut off. Again, teasing into that match, we've got the everybody in the ring, the trios match being teased.
A lot going on.
Just a lot going on. But I do appreciate the hype that was put into these upcoming matches that either on Dynasty or as well as, I don't know if there's any coming up on future television as well, but regardless, just a good little storytelling moment.
Yeah, no, a lot of chaos. And I honestly thought, like, here's the other thing about this episode before I get into my number one, because it really doesn't relate to any of the matches that were on the show. The match order, the structure of the show was really weird.
It was weird.
This felt like something that should have been at the end of the show, and it wasn't, and it felt really off to me.
So the only thing, and I still don't fully know how I feel about this, but because I was reading up on it a little bit more, like when we go through the full show breakdown of after the main event, which we had looked at each other and been like a little confused as to what made this the main event.
I understood it was, because Penta is technically the next contender to the TNT Championship. So they're trying to make that feel a little bit important.
I was going
to
say main event being Penta up against Commander. Bit of a weird feeling for a main event. And then at the end of the match, Adam Copeland coming out to make that kind of eye contact.
Just a stare down.
Just a little stare down to end the show. But again, I kind of get why they did the brawl first, but at the same time, just felt a little bit more flat to do that second.
For me, I think you could either put the House of Black Trios match, or honestly, what should have main evented the show is the match that opened the show is FTR and Top Flight.
Yeah.
The Tag Team Championship tournament.
I fully agree with that. I think it was, I don't know. The match order was a bit weird. Like we said,
the whole structure of this show,
yeah, the matches of the show, it was just a bit of an odd collision to watch. And
it was just very odd, again, considering how much wrestling there is this weekend. You think they would want to put something decently memorable on the show
to pack a punch. But they kind of, this is the one thing about when you're hyping up, we've talked about this before, when you're hyping up pay-per-views or big shows coming up in the future, is you kind of have this strange underlying, if you've got these matches already put together and you know you've got like weeks to kill, how many times can you go over and over again?
I mean, at the same time, it's just, I don't know, like, something just felt so off about this episode. And like, honestly, we've been doing this now almost 40 weeks, and
holy crap,
this is the first episode to me that has really not felt like a proper collision show to me. And it's weird because this is probably the prime real estate for when you'd want to have the best collision show, so that way people go out of the way to watch it with how many shows and how many hours of wrestling you have this weekend.
Where was Collision this week?
London.
No, sorry,
it was taped on Wednesday. I'm not entirely sure where it was.
I was just piecing together. You know, normally a lot of those shows pop up around Mania City,
but it was different.
It was taped prior, yeah. So it was just, again, the vibes kind of weird. But again, I appreciated these little post-show moments.
This isn't like us like quitting the podcast or
no, because you're going to have those ups and downs.
Absolutely.
And we're very realistic. Like, we're not the kind of people that are going to, because we watch Collision very intensely. I was going to use the word religiously and then was going to avoid it. But we obviously, as people with podcasts, have to watch it closely. We have to watch it with a critical eye. And we're not going to, you know, BS
some bullshit.
No, we're not going to BS around. If it's not a great episode, we're going to tell you it's not a great episode. It doesn't mean we're saying, like you said, you shouldn't stop watching the show, as next week could be an absolute banger, as not only is it Collision.
Dude, look at last week. Last week was a killer episode.
This week, yeah, it kind of fell flat. A lot of situations for why that may have fallen flat. Next week, we get another Battle of the Belts. So it really could be that kind of, it's the up and down ebbs and flows that comes with any wrestling show.
That's right. Next week, not only will we be covering Collision, not only will we be covering Rampage, but we will be here covering Battle of the Belts as well. So
yeah, a lot of wrestling to watch again next week, which is fine. That's what we're here for.
That's right. My number one for this week is actually a pair of interviews we're setting up for a big-time matchup going down at Dynasty, as we had Renee Paquette sitting down with both Brian Danielson and Will Ospreay.
Although she was not sitting down for the Will Ospreay interview, as he pointed out to her. I just had to say that.
Just fantastic interviews. Really unique perspectives from both guys. I think Danielson, they kind of told a story about how one of the AEW employees was like, "Oh, this is like the best wrestler I've ever seen," talking about Ospreay. And Brian Danielson was like, "I'm literally standing right here." Like, so it was just cool things like that where you're kind of inserting a little bit more realism. And that's what wrestling is in 2024. But it's just nice having those nice added elements where it makes it feel a little bit more personal, a little bit more important.
I was going to say, it adds some intensity without doing the old school stare downs all the time. Like, it's just like, it's giving you that little bit of an extra.
I think just interviews are fantastic.
Well, I'm a huge appreciation for any backstage interviews. Like, it, I think it really does elevate any show, but
it's just character development.
Yeah.
And building a story. They're really trying to tell this story of who is the best wrestler in the world. And both guys genuinely have a claim for that. Ospreay's run in AEW so far has been astronomical.
Yeah.
It's, you look back on his, I believe, was his first match in AEW against Kenny Omega.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it was.
You come forward to the matches he's had against Don Callis family members, Takeshka, Will Hobbs, Kyle Fletcher. Like, these matches have been next level, and he's showing why he genuinely has a claim to being the best wrestler in the world right now. Bryan Danielson himself was literally like, yeah, I'm... You know, like, watching this guy, and I don't know if I can keep up. Ospreay himself even said, like, it's interesting because both guys are like, I don't know if I can keep up. And it's like two different perspectives, because Ospreay is just like, oh, these guys are way quicker than me.
Well, because Ospreay talking about in New Japan, it's a lot more focused on the grappling. It's a lot more
style,
the strong style, which is what he's accustomed to. And now coming in, and he's just like the speed and the agility, and it's a whole next level of wrestling. But that's one thing he's looking forward to with his matchup against Bryan Danielson, is that he is kind of that New Japan strong style grappling like kind of wrestler. So he's like, okay, I don't know if I can keep up, but he's also going to be a little bit more what I'm used to.
Yes. It's been interesting to see both perspectives going into the match, and like both attitudes going into the matches as well. I'm intrigued to see how long they give them. I think that's going to be a testament to how great this match gets. I mean,
as well as, again, card placement. Like, yes. I feel like this has all the build to be a main event match, but...
This is an AEW podcast. However, we look at last night's WrestleMania, and there were several matches where it felt like we were starting to get into that next gear, and we never got there because the match ended.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid, like, this match could genuinely be one of the best matches we see of all time.
And I truly believe, and I should say hope, that it will be, when you're just looking at these two men that are going to be in the ring up against each other, and the history-making matches that they have had.
And I think the way they're presenting it, there's no question they're going to give it time. There's no question they're going to make it feel as important as truly possible, especially not only Ospreay's run in AEW so far, Danielson's final year as a full-time performer.
Yeah.
So there's a lot riding into this match, and I think... This is a potential for match of the year.
I 100% agree.
So, yeah, big shout out to Renee as well. She's fantastic with this stuff.
Yep.
Just the cadence, the questions, the way she presents herself as well.
Mm-hmm.
She's always been a pro, but I just have to tip a cap to that as well, because those interviews don't go that good without a great interviewer.
100%. 100%. And she needs that recognition, because... Absolutely incredible talent to have.
So before we dive into the rest of the card, before we dive into Rampage, there's something that needs to be addressed. We've been talking about it all this entire show, and I can't believe they're doing this. I really cannot believe they're doing this. So within the last week, lots gone down.
Behind the scenes, we should say. Behind the scenes.
I wouldn't even say behind the scenes. It's been on social media. It's been during interviews. We had CM Punk do an interview with Ariel Helwani for the MMA show, obviously promoting WrestleMania this week. He fully dove into everything AEW related. That's not me to speak on verbatim, because honestly, I don't want to fuck up what he said and misquote him. If you want to hear what Punk said, clearly you can go check out that interview. I'm sure there's some transcripts online that you can check out as well. Probably Fightful. Shout out Fightful. but yeah, I obviously this happens, and there's a lot of chaos on social media. You have the Adam Copeland promo that kicks off Dynamite, basically not necessarily burying Punk, but basically saying
essentially saying this company,
whatever you're hearing online,
whatever
isn't
you're
what
hearing
it is.
Online, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like this, what matters is that we know as a part of this company that it's a good place to be. This is the right place for me to finish my career. This is the locker room I want to be a part of.
Yeah. So, you know, Copeland goes out and cuts this, you know, not necessarily rah-rah, but, you know, rah-rah promo, putting over the company, whatever. It gets announced last night on Collision that the Young Bucks are going to be on Dynamite this week with the backstage footage from All in London, and they're going to address it for the first time.
Which, this being exactly what all of this drama has been.
Which, in case you're unaware, it's the...
It's what happened incident. Backstage.
It's the whole incident that got CM Punk canned from AEW, which led to his WWE return, which, you know, snowballed everything that we see that's happening right now.
It led to Jungle Boy not being on AEW television since
going,
then.
Going back to New Japan, doing his whole thing, scapegoat gimmick, Bucks shouting out Jungle Boy quite a bit, Jungle Boy shouting out the Bucks, doing their moves.
More lately, we should say, only just recently.
Within the past couple of weeks. But anyways, Bucks get announced for Dynamite saying that they're going to address this whole situation. At first, you kind of take it with a grain of salt and you're like, oh, okay, like, they're probably going to turn this into some sort of gimmick. They're probably going to do a recreation. They're probably going to have some fun with it, whatever.
Cool. Which, for the record, we've had some back and forth over whether or not it will be actual footage or a recreation. I will pop so hard for a recreation if that is the case.
It would be great.
I think a lot of people would be disappointed and mad about it. I think it would be fun as hell.
Best case scenario, it's that, and it leads into we see Jack Perry back in AEW television associated with the Elite, because that's pretty much what everybody's anticipating at this point, especially with what's gone on the past couple of weeks. Worst case scenario, AEW needs to get their freaking priorities in check. Stop wasting time on a guy that doesn't even work for the damn company anymore. Like, here's the thing. You got the Bucks going against FTR, Dynasty, for the AEW Tag Team Championships. It's very well known that FTR are great friends with CM Punk. How the frick are they going to feel about this public bullshit being aired on national television because the boss is a stooge and can't let go of things? It's one of those things where I'm like, if this footage actually gets aired, don't get me wrong, am I like going to be watching it? 1,000%. I'm at this point, it's a train wreck. You can't look away from it. I just don't understand catering to this. This is literally, I'll take it from post-wrestling. Shout out John Pollock and Wei Tang, because I listened to them kind of covering this morning. This is literal 2000s WCW shit that they're doing right now. This is the stuff that sent WCW under. Is just doing internet bullshit. And don't get me wrong, can you cater to the internet fans sometimes? Absolutely. Fuck, WWE did it with WrestleMania, changing their entire plan with what they did with The Rock, and they've acknowledged that. However, there's a difference in what that is compared to what this is. There were several incidents involving Punk. Yes, was he in the wrong? Absolutely. Is he still in the wrong? Addressing it publicly? Absolutely. I will, as the biggest CM Punk fan, own that. However, to allow a company that, again, this person is no longer employed for, to just live rent-free in your freaking mind and bring up an issue that's what? Where are we? We're in April now. This happened 7 months ago. Is it some stupid ploy to get cheap heat? I don't know. Is it something, again, to bring Jack Perry back on the television to associate him with the Elite? I don't know. Is it a coincidence that this footage is airing 2 days before Jack Perry wrestles in Chicago for New Japan? I don't know. I just think this is a poor, poor, poor idea for AEW. And this is coming from somebody who was Mr. AEW from day one. I have supported this company from day one. I have purchased tickets. I have purchased memorabilia. I've gone out of my way to support this company in more ways than one. But this is the type of shit, I'm going to be honest with you, that's going to turn me off of AEW completely. Is it going to be like, am I going to watch it again? Yes, 100%. I think it's just the most stupid and petty thing. And honestly, they're creating backlash that they don't need. Focus on the guys that are putting in the work, that are creating that company, that are keeping that company going. Hell, we can rip on Chris Jericho all we want, but that dude's going out every single week and busting his ass continuously to try and put over young guys. And instead, we've got stupid executives and bosses that just want to drag out drama for no reason. And doing it on national television. I don't know, man. It's one thing to address this in an interview, like Punk did, but to air it out on national television on your TV program where you can take that time and allot it to something else? I don't know, man. I'm always a wait-and-see type of guy. I'm always waiting to see things out, but I don't know about this one, man.
So I'm just going to dive into my opinion, which is not going to be as long and thought out as your opinion, but it's just, as I'm listening to you, it's in my mind. Do I think this is a good idea? No. But I think these things, because of the internet and because of the people involved and their varying levels of maturity, because I'm going to be real, if we're looking at everybody involved, none of them are all that mature. I think as long as people are speaking in interviews and telling their side of things, it is going to constantly be a story that is frequently brought up again and again and again. But if we actually get to see with our own eyes exactly what happened, then what other stories can they tell? So as much as I agree this isn't necessarily worth television time, at least once we actually see, and this is, again, this is if we see, because there's still a little part of me that genuinely thinks that this is going to be just some BS of people dressed up as each other and making a joke of it. But if it is put out there, the video footage, because the same thing happened with, I'm sorry, I can't remember the actual like way to describe it, so I'm just going to say the muffins. Like, if we look back at that situation where it just, that's it, thank you, where you just hear the stories and you hear from this person's perspective, but then there's also an NDA, so you're never going to fully know what happened. As long as we don't know what happened, it is just human instinct, and it is the day of the internet.
She say, absolutely.
But it's also just the age of the internet that it's not going to stop getting talked about, because the same thing happens now. We look at Dark Side of the Ring. We look at all of these old wrestling dramas. They are still talked about because we will never know the 100% true story.
See, I do tend to agree with you a little bit there, because you do make a point to where we're all going to speculate. If we don't get the actual truth, what happened? Absolutely, we're all going
to
speculate.
That's why, sorry, just to finish up my thought.
Go ahead.
I agree. Television isn't the way to do this. This doesn't need TV time. I don't think it deserves TV time. However, I would hope if actual footage gets put up there, that's it. What else can people speculate if we actually see what happened? And I will say there will still be speculation, because we've heard people, the quote from Tony Khan of how he feared for his life. But maybe we'll get to see that Tony Khan wasn't even there. And that was bullshit. Whatever it may be.
I don't think that's going to be.
I don't think it's going to be brought up. But again, at least the main issue of this drama, this whole fiasco, this the end of CM Punk's time.
You can say that. However, there's all the incidents that led up to this, too, that people are always going to speculate on as well. Punk confronting Jack about the whole incident and having multiple people supposedly go up to him and tell him no, and then Punk having to do it because Tony wouldn't do it himself. Tony being Tony Khan, the Tony I was referring to in the first place was Shivani.
Shivani was, it was brought up in Punk's recent interview that Shivani was the one that asked Punk to get involved, as he did not know how to deal with the situation, and Punk was there and he was like, I need help. No fault to Shivani. I get it. Sometimes it's just like, hey, I can't handle this on my own. I need somebody's help.
And Punk was, I guess, kind of one of the head guys of Collision. It's been noted of that as the show continued to
go along, he started to kind of take on a little bit more of a creative role, and that's how this incident kind of went down.
Yeah.
Again, there's a lot of speculation of what this segment's going to be. Both Dave Meltzer, Sean Ross Sapp, Wrestling Observer, and Fightful have reported that they've spoken to several sources within AEW, and apparently it is actually going to be the footage that is airing. There's not going to be a bait and switch. They are actually going forward with this. Apparently, Tony Khan is super hot about the Punk interview and what was said, and he's been wanting to air this footage for a long time, but apparently he's picking now to do it because of obviously when the Punk interview dropped.
Which, again, it hadn't been brought up in a while until Punk did his interview. So as much as I agree that Tony Khan, again, nobody in this situation has the maturity that they should be dealing with this shit or do involved
in this
shit.
I'm gonna leave it at this and move on from the situation.
Okay.
If it wasn't for Tony Khan sitting there and allowing everything to be said at that media scrum, none of this would happen.
I agree.
If it wasn't, if it wasn't for Tony Khan taking the red herring from probably Dave Meltzer and many others, letting him know, hey, Punk and Cabana got heat, man. You got to figure this out before it blows up. And it got to the point that it did. Like, I'm sorry. The biggest person at fault here is Tony Khan. And you cannot tell me otherwise.
My final statement in just a piggyback off of what you just said, I think this just also does summarize the fact that Tony Khan does not have what I think is necessary as a boss to run a promotion as big as AEW.
There's nothing wrong with being a guy that books stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the end of the day, when situations happen and you got to be that bad guy, you got to step up and be that bad guy.
And yeah, that's essentially the right way to finish off my thought, is that he does need somebody else to be that actual boss role while he can be that financial person as well as booker. That is completely okay. But I think AEW, unfortunately, unless they do come to that decision of, yes, we need somebody else to be in charge with Tony, he's going to be his own demise to his company.
God, I really thought this episode was going to be one of our shortest, but now that I'm looking literally at the time right now, it's probably going to be one of our longest.
The actual top three really was not much to talk about. This is mainly what we wanted to talk about because it was addressed on Collision. Yes, this is technically going to be more of a Dynamite segment. However, it was brought up on our show, therefore we have a right to talk about it.
But yeah, that's pretty much where we're going to leave off at that. I'm going to make a note that we are going to address this next week as well, because I am very curious to see what comes about of that Dynamite segment.
Yeah.
And the backlash that comes of it in the following days that leads us to Collision. But
yes,
with that said, that is it for our top three for this week. I'm going to dive in quickly to the rest of Collision and what we have going on, dive into some quick Rampage results, and then we'll bounce on out of here for the rest of the weekend. Big shout out to SME as always for hosting us. SME Radio, check out all these shows on the rest of the network, but I'll do a major plug for them before we end off the show. Let's dive into the rest of Collision. We had a Dustin Rhodes promo. We had Dustin Rhodes addressing the fact that he's never been a world heavyweight champion and wants the opportunity to do that before his career is over. It's winding down. Calling out the Samoan submission machine, the king of television himself, Samoa Joe. Going down this week on Wednesday will be a world championship eliminator match as Dustin Rhodes takes on Samoa Joe.
Not a title match for the record, as Samoa Joe did acknowledge he wasn't ready for an actual title match, but he will give him this chance. If he is able to beat Samoa Joe, he will give him a title shot.
I did say eliminator.
I was just translating for the people like myself who don't know what that means all the time. Go on. I'm fired up.
We had Rocky Romero addressing the international championship, saying there's nobody more international than Asuka. And, I mean, not really anything you can argue. So, asking for an opportunity, again, for another eliminating match coming up in Battle of the Belts next week, taking on the current international champion, Roderick Strong. And that was signed as well. So, a couple eliminator matches coming up. We mentioned the line hook promo with Shibata. Shibata coming in with his Google Translator, accepting the offer to be a part of that trio.
Sorry, I just giggle. I love that Google Translator. It is so funny.
My favorite was, for some reason, Jericho has been saying bet lately. Like a
He's old... trying to be young.
Yeah, I think so. My favorite was Shibata with his Google Translator also saying bet.
Nice.
Nice touch. Nice touch. We had Trisha Dora taking on Yuka Sakazaki. I think I said that right. Yuka Sakazaki. Yeah, I think I said that right. It was interesting because I didn't really know the whole premise of this. I guess previously in Rampage, the night before, Serena Deeb taking on Trisha Dora was victorious. Trisha Dora getting a chance for not necessarily revenge, but to get back on the winning path against Yuka Sakazaki. Yuka was victorious, and then Serena Deeb making her presence known following the match as well. So seems like a future matchup between Yuka and Serena going to be going down. We had Daniel Garcia addressing the AEW television audience as he was victorious in an elimination fatal four-way match on Rampage involving Brian Keith, Commander, and Action Andretti, the Throat Goat himself. Gotta always get that in.
So I'm just not expecting it when you say it, and it always takes me off guard, but yes.
Garcia basically saying that he wants to be in the conversation for some of the best in AEW, and he's going to do that with Daddy Magic by his side. So looking forward to what Garcia brings to the table. He is one of the best in the game right now, and I hope that he gets the potential to be a future champion in AEW, hopefully sooner rather than later. And then, like we mentioned, the main event of Penta and Commander. So that was Collision for this week. As it relates to Rampage, we had Malakai Black versus Christopher Daniels in a singles match, which led us obviously to our trios match that we've seen on Collision. We had Roderick Strong taking on Ontario's own, I believe Ontario, maybe Quebec.
I believe it was, yeah, because it was London, Ontario.
Well, he was billed from London, Ontario.
Okay, okay.
However, London Lightning, a student of the Keep of Evil Uno and Stu Grayson, getting an opportunity. Looking great as well. A lot of people comparing him to the illegitimate son of RJ City.
And some mic time, too, which is not something you often get to see with a lot of these kind of enhancement matches. So he did very well.
To be noted as well, off air, Tony Khan came out and acknowledged him as well, gave him a handshake and brought him to the back. So
that's cool. Maybe see him more of London Lightning.
Layla Hirsch back on TV for the first time in a while, saying that she wants an opportunity for an eliminator match. A trend here on this episode against Julia Hart. So that will be going down, I believe, on Dynamite this week as well. Julia addressing that as well later in the show. We had Saraya and Zack Knight talking about Zack Knight's match next week against Cool Hand Ange, as well as a interesting interaction as Alex Marvez interviewing Saraya. And Saraya goes, "Why do you got those glasses on? You're just trying to get a look at Harley's tits." and ejecting him from the interview. I was like, as he's not even looking in the direction of Harley, it popped me hard. And then, like I mentioned, the main event, the Fatal 4-Way Elimination Match, which Daniel Garcia was victorious in. So, yeah, I believe this is probably going to be our longest ever edition of Collision Catch-Up. So if you've gotten to this point, thank you very much for listening and supporting us. We've almost been doing this for a year, which is absolutely wild. Very, very thankful for the SME family for hosting us every single Sunday, whether it's morning, afternoon. We're still going to get this episode out. We're going to give you guys some content to listen to, and hopefully you guys enjoy it every single week. Check out SME on all forms of social media at SME Radio. Of course, check out the Patreon. Join the family for just a little over a cup of coffee. You can support the family and, again, join us up. The Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, I think it's all SME Radio. Of course, podcast platforms. Check out your favorite podcast platforms every single day, pretty much at this point. Whether it's pop culture, MMA, music, pro wrestling, there's pretty much everything and anything covered on this network. So go check out and show the same love you do to our very show. I'm at Matthew Grant, First Days of War. Keep up with everything I'm doing in the world of independent professional wrestling. Hell of a busy April, a couple of shows this weekend, a triple shot next weekend, a double shot the following weekend. So a lot on the horizon for me right now. Follow along with my journey.
And you can find me on all forms of social media at Aaron154Grant. See what I'm getting up to, whether it be wrestling or just, I don't know, living my life. I'm trying to post more on social media, I always say, and then never do. Anyways, this has been a again, afternoon Sunday edition of Collision Catch Up. Thank you so much for listening.